What a very odd story we get this morning in the sermon. I mean, in the gospel. How many of you have heard the phrase, if you're going to talk the talk, then you better walk the walk? How many? Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of, yep, most of you have heard that. Mainly this was used against me when I was an arrogant teenager, and my parents were attempting to teach me a lesson about my arrogance and what I would say. But this still relates today, right? We all do a lot of talking without walking. We have all made promises we can't keep or New Year's resolutions we can't live up to. At some level, it is only natural as flawed humans to talk but not walk. But as Christians, we are on the hook for more than just talk. So back to this story about Herod and his birthday party. There is a long backstory to this birthday party, but the main points are that Herod is in charge, John is in prison for speaking out against Herod for marrying his brother's wife, and Herod's wife despises John for that reason. Who knew the Bible had so much drama, right? This drama only intensifies when Herod makes one dreadful promise to his wife's daughter, to give her anything she wants. Since her mother is so mad at John, she clearly wants him to be beheaded. Here's where the story gets tricky. Herod actually appreciates John and his teachings that he preaches. He finds John's teachings difficult, but intriguing. And he is deeply conflicted when this young girl asks for John's head. He doesn't want to kill John. He would sit by John's prison cell and listen to him preach. And he knows he shouldn't kill John. But the culture they are living in is built on honor and shame. And that culture requires that he saves face and power and kills John anyway. If he were to make a promise and then not follow through on it, he would have shame directed at him rather than honor for keeping his promise. So he only does the talk but not the walk. He tries to listen to John and what John is preaching. Or maybe he only does the listening with no action. I don't think we can necessarily relate to Herod, as no one here is royalty, as far as I know, or has anyone under their control in prison. But can't we learn something from the relationship between Herod and John? Herod loved to listen to John preach, but was rather disturbed by what he heard. After all, John was preaching about someone more powerful than all earthly power coming to lead a new way. This intimately challenged Herod's power. John also preached about Herod marrying his brother's wife, which, as we know, is why he ended up in jail. John preached a sermon for the least of these to a Herod who listened but couldn't find the courage within himself to act. I also don't think we can relate to John either, as John stood in the face of power and preached about the kingdom that is yet to come. John spoke truth to power to the point of death. John did a lot of talking, but he also matched it with a lot of walking. I don't think many of us in this room are willing to die for our beliefs, and we also have never had to consider that reality given the religious freedom we have in this country. But we can relate at some level to this relationship between Herod and John. We can relate to caring too much about what other people might think of us, saving face for power, being more concerned with our honor than doing the right thing. Maybe we have placed the value of our status, reputation, or wealth over truth. Maybe we are so conflict avoidant that we don't speak up and let others be hurt by the virtue of our silence. Or maybe we are more comfortable with stability and safety over transformation and change. Is it too messy, chaotic, dangerous, or costly to work for the true justice of your neighbor? Here's what all of the answers to these questions might look like in our world. A politician not voting on a bill that could bring assistance to the poor because it would cost them re-election. Media coverage offering the most scandalous version of the story to engage watchers and gain more TV ads. Hearing a racist, homophobic, or sexist slur and laughing along because we are uncomfortable or just too tired to challenge that person again. Maintaining the status quo because it has worked just fine for us while ignoring all who are being marginalized in the process. Ignoring protests or homeless encampments or sex workers, migrant workers, and all others because we are too tired or they could risk our safety. Only caring about Black lives when the death of a person of color gains traction in the national media. Or just being too tired to have that argument one more time because they will never get it. It's just Uncle Joe who won't change his ways no matter what we say. This gospel story doesn't feel like it has very much good news in it. But I can assure you that these questions are gospel questions. They are questions that had John beheaded and Jesus crucified. They are the questions that disquiet our spirit and lead us to action. They are the questions that inspire our faith to move beyond complacency. They are the questions that bring life to all people. They are questions that give voice to the marginalized and lift up the weary ones. These questions might feel like work to us. They might challenge us and conflict us, just like the words Herod heard John preaching. But this is good news to our neighbors. And it is good news to us that we have a God who calls us to these actions for the sake of our neighbor. Because who is to say that we won't be on the other side of these questions or that we haven't been there before? Waiting for someone to walk the walk rather than just talk the talk. You see, Herod started in the right place. He listened and he was intrigued. He felt uncomfortable and conflicted. And this is a great starting place. But we cannot stay there. Jesus never asked for listeners, but for followers, for doers, for walkers and talkers. So people of God, I hope that we can talk the talk and walk the walk. For these gospel questions have life-saving consequences. Might we commit ourselves to the mission of this place? To actively share Christ's love and community. Actively. Let's vow to move past listening and complacency so that all of God's children might experience true justice. Let us vow to talk the talk and walk the walk. Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen. Amen.